Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
The practice within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Friday. Today is June 26, 2015. And welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show today and would like to hear from you. If you call our hotline, 646-200-4169, press 1 and that will put you into queue to talk with our host. We'd love to hear from you today, your comments or questions that allow you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice of Aramaic forgiveness. So now let's say hello to welcome Michael and begin the show.
I think I'm on, am I?
We hear you very well.
I'm just talking, sitting here talking about Heartland and what's happening here. So we're just in the middle of a meeting, and I didn't listen to your full hello and introduction, but when your voice stopped, I figured I was on. So welcome, everybody, to Mind Shifters Radio. My name is Michael, and we're just absolutely delighted that you're here to share with us and to join in this process of understanding, learning, and teaching first-century Aramaic forgiveness. That's what we're here to do. And so delighted that you're here, and we're here to move into this process of understanding how the internal process of forgiveness operates. I was introduced to a website the other day that had an article from a gentleman named Stephen Sandiford, a medical doctor, chief of surgery at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and he's saying, the lack of forgiveness is a medical disease. And what happens is refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. And he says that, and he deals with cancer patients, he says 61% have cancer issues, and more than half of those are severe. And so we're here to support that deeper process of forgiveness being understood, deeper than what the culture has taught us about forgiveness. You know, we've been taught that forgiveness is about me letting you off the hook, and that one is a total and complete fraud. It's got nothing to do with letting you off the hook. Forgiveness is a tool with which you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. And as you do that, everything begins to change because you remove on an energetic level the things that never belonged in you. And when you remove those things, then life changes. Everything changes. And we're here to share that technology with you. If you have not yet accessed that process of forgiveness, then I invite you to go to our website and www.whyagain.org and tap into the tool of forgiveness. There's a full set of instructions. Everything is there that you need, and it's free. The process is one of going inside and removing what never belonged. And as you understand that and put that to work in your life, then you learn to remove. If you listen to Einstein, who says there's no such thing as matter, there's only energy. When you realize that we are energetic beings and that when energies are put into our structure that don't belong there, then you realize that you are the cause of your own diseases. If you realize that you are the cause of your own diseases and you begin to remove your diseases, then what happens is you heal. It's not mystical. It's not miraculous. It's not magical. What was being done 2,000 years ago is reach into yourself, remove what doesn't belong. If you're in a very empowered state, if you're in the presence of someone like Yeshua who can hold the space, then you can engage in forgiveness on a deeper level than you could previously. And that's what created the miracle healings. And what we're here to do is to empower everyone. You know, the man Yeshua says, the things I do, you can do in greater, because when love is active and present in each one of us, instead of the game of hostility and fear that the world teaches us to play when the stress is up and the chips are down. What is it that causes the stress to be up and the chips are down? Well, usually it's got to do with some infantile demand that we have of ourselves or another that other or we are not fulfilling. And we've been trained by power person dynamics and filled from a genetic perspective in our experience with a power person with all forms of hostility or fear. And what most people do is just slide into drugging themselves against feeling and having to deal with their hostility and fear. And when we live in that world and we've been trained by the culture that somebody else is the problem in our lives, then we fill our limited conscious space, the limited awareness in our conscious minds, with information about others being the cause of what's happening inside of ourselves. And by doing so, we restrict, we lose contact with those very things that we most need to heal. And we won't have contact with those things until the next time the stress is up and the chips are down, somebody isn't fulfilling a goal that we hold for them. And so what happens when that stress is up and the chips are down and pain is moving that we want to stay dissociated from is people reach for their fifth of scotch or their, you know, their bottle of beer or their cigarette or their pot or their antidepressants or their food, the junk food, the foods of the culture that don't really serve nutritionally to support human health. And by doing so, we are physiologically reinforcing the dissociation from those things that we need to face and heal. And, you know, one of the most beautiful things about the way the universe is set up, once you recognize it, is that there's a law called the law of resonance. And whatever it is we've been dissociating from and hiding from ourselves, we set up a field that resonates somebody in to play it out with us. And when there's some sort of hostility, fear, pain, trauma from our genetics right through our childhood, through our whole lives, when there's energy in there that we don't want to deal with, we set up a field that through resonance creates motion of the person toward us who knows how to play that out. And so somebody shows up who knows exactly how to give us the look, exactly how to turn their lip up the right way, exactly how to turn their head the right way to resonate that in us. And usually that person is a spouse. That's why people get rid of spouses, because spouses tapped in. Once you become intimate with someone, you exchange genetics with them, and all of a sudden they've got access to the parts of your mind that you don't have access to. And you notice how expert they become at giving you the look. And if you never learn that when you get the look, what comes up in you is yours, and learn to end your denial and dissociation and crack through the projection that it's about your spouse or your children or somebody else, then you get the opportunity to access the parts of your mind and your genetics that are in need of healing. There's the forgiveness process. There's the process that removes hostility, fear, and literally diseases. I'll offer that there is no other cause of disease in the human realm than holding or locking an energy into tissue that doesn't belong in that tissue. And what happens is that energy locked into tissue creates literally a so-called chemical condition in the cell that causes the deterioration of the cell. Most often, that deterioration comes from the thoughts we think. The thoughts that generate hostility and fear in us, literally, what they're showing in the cell biologist laboratory, turn into molecules, and those molecules circulate around in the structure until they find a receptor site on a cell that matches, and the molecule lands on the receptor site and inserts itself in the cell. Now you've got a cell that's diseased, a cell that begins the deterioration process. And when it begins to deteriorate, it says, ouch, that hurts. So what do people do when they hurt? They run off for more drugs. They run off for more of their junk food, more of the alcohol, more of the nicotine, more of the caffeine, more of the stuff that anesthetizes them, when in fact what their structure is trying to do is simply warn them that they're engaging in an energy that doesn't belong. And anyone, enlightened or not, that engages in an energy that doesn't belong is going to get a warning signal. The cell's going to say, ouch, that doesn't feel good. You need to heal this. And once I realize that I've got something that I need to heal, then when I engage in the process of forgiveness, I will collapse the whole process of perception that keeps me focused on everybody else through my brain. I'll collapse that, and I'll drop into the deeper hidden part of my mind. And as I drop into the deeper hidden part of my mind and access what's hidden there, and I do that with love present, then those deeper parts of my mind begin to dissolve, and I step into healing. So that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to be part of. And it's an awesomely, awesomely powerful process. If you haven't accessed that process yet, we invite you to go to our website. Again, www.whyagain.org. And when you get there, scroll down a little bit and click on the bullseye. The bullseye will open a whole series of links that will explain and take you step by step through the forgiveness process. One of the other things that you might want to do, actually, before you click on the bullseye, is the symbol right next to the bullseye is a 24-minute PowerPoint presentation, and I thank Bill once again, Bill Costantino, for creating that and doing the audio and creating a video that's on YouTube to look at how the forgiveness process operates. We've taken 35 years of my work and put it in 24 minutes. And so you can go through and have a comprehension of some of the most advanced understanding on the planet of how the mind works and absolutely the most advanced material on forgiveness on the planet. And once again, suffice to say that if you're talking about how you forgave them or you forgave yourself, you're not doing forgiveness work, you're doing pardoning work. And the whole culture, when they talk about forgiveness, is talking about pardoning. They all say, yes, well, it gets rid of your resentment, but if I let somebody else off the hook, that's not going to get rid of my resentment. It may empower me to disconnect my resentment from this person, so it will appear that it's handled my resentment, but it hasn't. And people who hold resentment die because their cellular structure is destroyed by the presence of resentment in all of its forms. In the ancient Aramaic, the word that represented the cause of disease, the word that represented putting disintegrative energy into a cell, is the word sin. And in Aramaic, sin is an archery term. When I fire at a target and I miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper yells, sin, you're off the mark. Positive feedback, as in take another shot. Not anything that the Greeks have made up about it. So when they said the wages of sin is death, they weren't talking about theology. They weren't talking about God's going to get you for your sins. They were saying, if you put enough disintegrative energy into your cellular structure, it's going to start to hurt. And as it hurts, it's going to go into deterioration. As it goes into deterioration, the pain will become more and more intense. When I remove the interfering energy from the cell, because the cell isn't physical, the cell instantly reorganizes itself and goes back to a healthy state. That's the essence of the miracle. You know, we hear of all kinds of things happening in the ancient teachings, and we see it all the time. I was actually talking to a woman yesterday who came to Heartland about, 15 years or so ago. And when she came, she's a therapist, a physical therapist, and she shared that as she learned about the forgiveness process and the still point breathing process, she went back home. She lived out west, and there was a man there who had AIDS and had come down with another cancer, and they were getting ready to do surgery. He had an AIDS-related bowel cancer, and it was the second time he'd been through it. And so they'd verified all the, you know, they've got all this stuff going on. And she went back and started to work with this man with forgiveness and still point breathing. And she shared with me yesterday that this is kind of like a beacon for her in the work, because he was getting ready to go in for surgery, and he had the sense that what he had dealt with and processed had healed this cancer. Now, this is a guy 15 years ago that should be, by all rights and purposes, be dead today. And not only when he said, let's check again and see if it's there, not only was it gone, but he's now 15 years later and perfectly healthy. We are energy systems, energies that don't belong in the structure when we're willing to access them. Now, the willingness might be the willingness that it takes to look at some horrific traumas that go back into early childhood, that go back into our generational patterns, the patterns of our parents, their parents, their parents, and their parents. When we hear the Aramaic speaking of this idea, again, remember the word sin is nothing but an archery term. It's got nothing to do with what the Greeks have taught us about it. It just means an energy that's off the mark. So when they said the sins of the fathers will be passed yea into three and four generations, that wasn't some kind of theological threat. They were saying that these generational patterns, and that leads to as well the drinking patterns, the eating patterns, the drug use patterns, the suppressive patterns, the rage patterns. Rage is nothing but a drug. It leads to playing those generational patterns out. So the healing process may look like going back 2, 3, 4, or 10 generations. Well, Michael, I thought you said they said 3 to 4 generations. Yes, that's what was said. But when you recognize that the fourth generation back got their patterns from where? The previous four generations. Who got it from the previous four? Who got it from the previous four? What is it we're talking about dealing with? We're talking about cleaning up the energetic patterns of our whole bloodline. That's what this work is about. That's what we're here to support. Now, there are people who don't want to do that. In fact, if you go back 2,000 years ago, here's Yeshua. He's got a whole following, a whole group of people. And in essence, they say to him, well, Yeshua, how do we do this? And his reply is, well, you've got to live like I live, as the presence of love. In essence, that's his reply. And what happens is half of the group says, this is too hard a saying. I don't want to do that much work. Let me go off and make an easy theology where I can just proclaim that you're going to fix it all for me, and then I don't have to do anything. I don't have to face my rage, my hate, my fear, my grief, my guilt, my pain, my drama, my trauma, my generations. No, I don't want to do that. That's too hard a saying. Now, the words that were translated when he answered their question and they said that's too hard a saying are an Aramaic idiom. If you go back and read that passage, what he said to them is, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood, which has been translated to mean something about communion. Obviously, if it's about wine and wafers, that isn't too hard a saying for anybody. They must not have been talking about wine and wafers. What were they talking about? Eat my body and drink my blood is an Aramaic idiom that's still in use in the Aramaic language today. And what it means is you're going to have to understand and integrate everything that I know if you want to be able to do what I do. And half of his group said, we're out of here. The other half stayed, but you'll notice it wasn't very long before the major event happened where the stress was up and the chips were down for everybody. They wanted their master to be alive and save them. He said, you know what? You guys are too focused on me. I'm going to leave so that you can do your real work. And then when he goes through what appears to be forcibly leaving, you'll notice that 11 out of 12 of those who stayed denied him. One of them, who's considered to be the leader, even cursed him. So half of the group leaves and says it's too hard a saying. The other half doesn't get it. And people are still trying to get it from them. You can't teach something you haven't experienced. You can't experience something that you don't understand is possible and that you don't have the instructions for achieving it. These tools are about, in the last 45 years of work that I've done, is about getting the understanding of how to do this thing of eat my body and drink my blood. That is, you've got to understand, you've got to integrate everything that I know, says Yeshua, in order to be able to do what you're capable of doing. It's not too hard a saying, but it's a lot of work. It's a very deep, intensive process. And so that's what we're here to support you in. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And we would love to hear your sweet voice with your questions and how can we support you. Does that make sense? If I were sitting on a stage in your town or standing in front of my whiteboard in your town and shared these ideas, what questions would come up for you? What if what I just said doesn't make sense to you? That's the question we want to hear, because we want to expand upon and make fully understandable and usable how this process works. And if you use it, you don't have to believe in it. If you use it, it will work for you. And so we're here to answer all the questions that we can so that at depth you can comprehend how to eat his body and drink his blood. That is, understand, integrate everything that he understood and integrated, and live as the space of love that he lived as. Now, lest your mind comes up with, oh, wait a minute, now there's that story in the temple where he took the whip to those guys. Now, don't tell me he wasn't in a fit of rage. Well, actually, it's interesting how the Greeks keep things in that hostility and fear realm and paint a picture of him in that way, but that's not what happened at all. The word that was used to describe or to translate as a whip in Aramaic, the word was, or pardon me, by the Greeks out of the Aramaic, the word was prigla. And a prigla is a small broom that you'd sweep chickens out of the house with. It was not about whipping anybody. It was about going in with clarity and power to your own temple. That external temple is simple, or pardon me, that external temple is a symbol of the structure that each of us has called the body-mind unit. I don't know if you can hear that thunder in the background, but we're getting ready for a doozy of a thunderstorm. It's pretty cool. Darkened skies, and it's going to rain. But in any event, that process is one of going inside yourself and learning to remove what never belonged. You're going to have to go in with the same kind of intensity and clarity that Yeshua went in and cleared the money changers out of the temple. We're going to have a conversation on Monday about the movie Inside Out. We invite you to go see it this weekend if you haven't seen it. Or if you've seen it, go see it again. And one of the things that that this movie portrays is the money changers in the temple so beautifully and so powerfully, because what it shows is all of these emotions. We see in the beginning of the film the birth of human life. It's actually pretty cool as an animation, really sweet face of a child, and inside the child's head you see this being of light called joy. Human life, hold a newborn child, you know what human life is. And then they introduce these emotions, and there's anger, and there's disgust, and there's fear, and there's sadness, and how the emotions are trying to run the control panel, trying to control the game. They're the money changers. So we're going to have that conversation on Monday and really delve into that movie. So we invite you to watch it and be part of the conversation, share your insights with us, share your questions with us on Monday's show. We're actually going to get the whole crew here from Heartland together and go have dinner down in Mountain Home and see it tomorrow night as a group. It'll be the third time that I've seen it, and I just so praise Disney for shifting to the light and moving out of the darkness that they've been in the past and coming to the light. And to me, there it's just an awesome symbol on the external of what's happening on the internal, and that we're on the cusp of critical mass, and it's time for the change to occur, time for the shift. And so I invite you to watch that movie, and if you have a question for us and you're on the phone line, if anything that I've said doesn't make sense or needs to be expanded, or you have related questions about the forgiveness process or any of the tools that we teach, if you are on one of those stations that we can't access, 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. We invite you to put that call in. And then when you're on the phone, push 1. If you're already in the phone queue, push 1. That will put your hand up, and Michelle will know that you have a question for us, and she'll introduce you by your area code. If you're in the chat room, you can only type in the chat room if you're registered with Blog Talk. It's a simple process, so if you only have computer access, please register with Blog Talk so you'll be able to talk with us through the chat room. And if you have questions, then Michelle will share those questions with us. Did we have anybody with a hand up? Well, before we talk about that, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. Are you with us today, sir?
I am here, and there's just so much to share. One thing I forgot to say yesterday. On Wednesday evening, one of the people I showed the video, Bill Costantino's video of your core forgiveness work to, is a woman who, as part of her job, has to do webinars using products like PowerPoint, etc. And I wanted to pass along to you and to Bill the kudos. She was very impressed, and she said, that took a lot of hours, and that's not easy to do. And she does that as part of her job. So it's a wonderful job. I thought I should pass along that when I show it to people in my office, it probably takes 35 minutes to get through it, because I stop and highlight a few points and substitute some words and optional interpretations. And it's just, I had the pleasure of showing it to another person yet again this morning, and he was suitably impressed. And then, of course, we had our Thursday support group last night, and I just want to pass along the gratitude.
The conversation about the PowerPoint into the support group, which I definitely want to hear about. Just as an aside there, I've been talking with Bill, and Bill is looking at the next PowerPoint that he wants to do is on the codependence process, and he's looking at creating one of those every 3 months. That's where his dedication is. He wants to create that. You know, he's got a support group happening up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it's a pretty awesome gift that he's giving. And yes, I certainly recognize him for all the hours he put into it. We spent many hours in conversation, and what he did is just phenomenal.
Agreed. Many thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Many thanks. And then I just wanted to pass along gratitude to the people that are helping grow this Thursday night support group, and they're all people who are familiar with the worksheet process, and there are people who are integrating Guy Finley work and Dale Allen Hoffman work, and I wanted to thank you for the Aramaicisms video. Is that a final edit?
No. Actually, that's just a preliminary, but I figured you'd be interested in seeing it, so I sent you a link to the preliminary. I just thought you'd be interested in seeing it. And have you been through it yet?
Yes. And I'm sitting here thinking, don't waste your time editing it. Print it.
Really, it's ready to go. Cool.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, unless you're going for perfection. I mean, there's things we could nitpick about Bill's PowerPoint. There's a little point here that's missed or whatever. But just wow, to have that out there. It's wonderful, and it's a huge file, so it almost didn't.
Yeah.
It took 11 hours to download from Dropbox.
Right.
But
that's the first 2 hours, and we've got an additional 2 hours. And I asked him, and actually I had you in mind when I had this thought. I asked him if he would please do the third night, the Course in Miracles, What is the World Lesson, next instead of the second hour or the second segment of Aramaicism, so that we'll have that one. And as soon as he gets it up in Dropbox, I'll send you a link to that to give a look at. And then I haven't looked at it yet. Out here at Heartland, we don't just have high-speed internet. We have satellite, and if I were to download that file, it would take about a quarter. Let's see, 4-7. Yeah, it'd take about a quarter of our whole month's allotment. We only get a certain number of gigabytes, so I have to wait till I can get to town to even watch it, because it won't just wipe out our internet service for the month.
Okay, well, maybe I'll put it on a thumb drive and send it to you.
Oh, cool. That'd be fun.
And my impression of it was, it felt like being there. So whatever you might say, I want this edited tighter here, I'd say, might take away from the experience of, I don't know how many cameras you had, but at least three. And it was just...
He had five cameras. And they told me that he's just magical in the way he does things. As I say, I haven't seen it yet, but that he's magical in the way he puts things together. And so that sounds like good confirmation that it is.
Yeah, with your permission, I'll share it with the support groups. It's, of course, the content, and I didn't see anything where I said, they better take that out, or, there's a lot of work to be done here. It was wonderful.
Cool. Yeah, it was just his fingerprints on it, and I'll have a look at it, and there may be some tweaks, but that's great, and certainly go ahead and share it with the support group, and otherwise keep it close to your chest until we're finished with it all, and we'll see how it comes together.
All right.
Awesome. Anything else to share?
No, that's all I need to do for now.
Cool. Well, Michelle, any thoughts from you?
Hey, Michelle. Michael, I'm here. We've got area code 607 waiting, and I turned on their mic. Who do we have on the line, and where are you calling from?
It's Richard from Mythica. How are you guys?
Hey, good sir. Good to hear your voice. How do you be? What's exciting?
Well, I caught you talking about a Disney movie, but I didn't catch the name.
Actually, I suggest doing four different recent Disney movies. The first one, and, they made the shift from darkness to the light. We'll talk more about that on Monday in Monday's show, but make sure that, and I don't think it's in the theaters anymore unless it's in one of the second run theaters in your area, but make sure you get a copy of, and you can, if you watch, you can buy it fairly cheaply on eBay or on Amazon. Saving Mr. Banks, all focused in forgiveness and Disney's personal forgiveness process. It's a very personal movie for him. The second one is Cinderella, where, of course, the prince comes in to do the rescue, but the new twist is that it's just so powerful, the light that's coming out of Disney compared to the darkness they've been for so long, that this Cinderella starts out with her mother is dying and really plants a seed of a powerful thought about how kind she is, and that kindness carries her through until she is able to create resolution, which includes somebody showing up to support her, which ends up being the prince. But it's not about the prince, it's about her process. Very powerful. The third one is Tomorrowland, where I hear Disney doing a confession of what they've done. It's currently in the theaters, and it's very powerful. And, I won't go any further with that, but that one, and then the one that I'm talking about most currently just came out a couple of days ago, that is just going to be such awesome teaching for young people and small children, is Inside Out.
Inside Out?
Inside Out, yep. It's a cartoon, but it will just knock your socks off with your knowledge and awareness of the work. It'll knock your socks off what they've done. We actually had somebody on the show the other day that said, Michael, did you consult on that movie? Like, no, I didn't, but sure could have, and they got so many of the nuances. They don't have the forgiveness piece yet, but I'm committed to getting the forgiveness piece to them for the sequel, which they've already got set up out of this first one. So it's just so
you're basically encouraging people to watch Inside Out over the weekend so you can have a discussion about it on Monday. Is that correct, what I understand?
On Monday, correct. And I'm also encouraging people to go out and see Tomorrowland. I understand at this point that Disney's down about $140 million on that one, and I'd like to see people supporting it, buying tickets to it, to send the message to Disney that this these kinds of movies that are based in light instead of darkness are going to make the money, that it's going to be financially viable for them. You know, they're a corporate entity, and they have to take care of their shareholders on the bottom line, but get people out to see that and buy tickets to it and support it, because it is powerful. So what else is happening in your world, Richard?
Oh, doing a lot of forgiveness work myself, relating to, you know, you're aware that I've been dealing with Lyme's disease, and I sort of had a flare-up this spring of pain, and, you know, recognizing that, pain's the signal that I'm doing something wrong, and so I've been doing a lot of forgiveness regarding all that, and...
My input, Richard? My input would be, before you move on to the next thought, my input would be that pain doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It just means you're engaging in an energy that doesn't belong in your structure. Or there's an energy there that's moving. And that's what you want to be forgiveness. Be forgiving, pardon me. You might just want to be careful that you don't do your power person routine. Yeah. Of making yourself, you want to hold the conversation for a second? Let me finish the thought. You want to make sure that you're not doing your power person routine of making yourself wrong here. You're just engaging in energy that you need to shift. That's all.
Okay, so anyway, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I've come to the realization about is, you know, the Lyme bacteria itself is makes your body really super sensitive. It amplifies the negativity and creates pain in your body. So I'm starting to realize it now that it's sort of like, okay, it's the amplifier of that negativity. So when I start to experience the symptoms, I said, okay, I need to change. Something needs to change in me in order to feel better. So I'm just pointing out
That's a great understanding of it. Richard, that's awesome to have that insight. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, I'll be the first person to say, I mean, I've been to a number of talks by the medical establishment, and they just don't want to acknowledge that, you know, they basically say, oh, you know, if you contract Lyme disease, take an antibiotic, will cure you in, you know, one series of treatments. And in my opinion, that's a bunch of hullabaloo, because I think I've realized that it's a bacteria that knows how to hide from the antibiotics. And then once the system stabilized, the immune system gets interrupted again through some emotional upset or whatever, where the immune system gets disturbed. It can easily take over again unless you're aware of the symptoms and know what's happening. You know, you can easily get very sick again before you realize that, oh, here we go again. You know, back to the, like I said, I'm aware of the symptoms now. So when I start to feel the symptoms, I say, okay, what am I doing wrong in my life and what do I need to change in order to heal, continue healing? So, again, like you said, that's a really good insight, and it's a really good insight for most anybody that's dealing with Lyme's disease needs to be aware of. They need to be particularly aware of the symptoms so they can recognize when things are going wrong or whatever, however you want to put it. they need to change again. So anyway, that's what's been going on for me.
Richard, are you taking beta-glucan?
No, I recently started doing when I recognized what was going on, I started doing a lot of herbal treatment for the, you know, personal prescription of herbal stuff to treat the Lyme disease and basically boost my immune system. And within a week, the symptoms were pretty much 95% gone. So
awesome. Well, you might want to add beta-glucan to your routine. And there is one particular form, actually, that I came across recently that has been really well tested, that is head and shoulders above every other form of beta-glucan. So I can put you in touch with somebody about that if you'd like to take a look at it.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. I'll be back in touch with you personally, and we'll get you in touch with them.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Now, Richard, while you're there, we had talked about this before, and someone I know has been to a chiropractor who does cold laser work with the acupuncture meridians,
mm-hmm.
and says they get fabulous results at knocking out the Lyme's disease. And that is Lester H. Holz, H-O-L-Z as in zebra, E. And H-O-L-Z-E wellness.com is their website. And he's in Elgin, Illinois.
Can you text me that?
I'm not sure I have your number, but
got it. I'll text it to you.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Cool. Awesome. So, anything else to share, Richard?
Me?
I guess he's gone.
No. I think I'm still here. She apparently took me off, and she just put me back on. Anything
okay.
else to share? Let's see. Once. Well, mainly right now. Well, I'm involved with a dance group right now, trying to bring a group of people together to form what I would call a cooperative dance group. And, you know, and Ithaca, the dancers are pretty, I don't want to say this, you know, everybody seems to have their own little niche, you know, and they don't want to come together and organize in order to have something better. So I'm hoping to working on creating a cooperative group of dancers to basically rent space for teaching right now. So that's what I'm involved with right now.
Cool. Well, I haven't thought of you as a dancer. That's pretty cool stuff. Awesome.
Yep. So that's pretty much what's going on in my life right now.
Okay. And is anything happening with your growing structures? Have you moved any further in that direction?
Thinking about generating the next large version of my dome structure that I want to build. I'm planning on potentially building that this summer. I have a place, another place here in Ithaca near, between here and Elmira that is basically my test facility, so to speak. So I'm planning on building that structure there at this point.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So that's my next
right.
project on the larger scale of doing my geodesic structures, is to build that next. So,
and how big a structure will that be?
Well, it's going to be made out of 5-foot PVC pipe, and you're basically going to have, it'll be about a 60-foot diameter to base, but then as it goes around, it's going to be like, about 10 feet tall, So it'll be like a large ball. It's the best way I can describe it.
And yeah. Then, have you ever thought about doing it out of bamboo?
Well, I've done that in the past, but there's a lot more. There's a lot more effort to making it out of bamboo than doing it with PVC pipe and rope. So I'm planning on building basically
just PVC pipe. Cool. Awesome.
That should, you know. I found too many things can go wrong with I did do a test run with the bamboo and stuff, but that tends to easily splinter and break where I made the connection. So I'm going back to using my PVC pipe and rope.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Awesome.
So that's where that's
at. All right.
At.
Well, we'll hold you under blessing, sir, and look forward to the next time we see you.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. And, Tim, was that HOLTZ.com?
It's HOLZ as in zebra, E, wellness.com. HOLZEWELLNESS.com.
Cool. Okay, it's sent. So he'll have that. So we're down to about 15. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left, 14 minutes. So we've got time for questions and lots of interesting thoughts on the table. So if anybody has a question or a thought for us, if you're on one of those stations we can't access you from, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We would love to hear your sweet voice. And if you're on the phone, push 1. That'll raise a little hand. Michelle knows you've got a question for us, and she'll introduce you. Michelle, anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
Things are quiet on the push board right now.
Okay. Well, we've still got time for a couple of questions, and so we'd invite somebody who's listening to put up a hand and talk to us. What's on your mind? How can we support you? What is there that you could benefit from understanding about the forgiveness process, about the healing process, about going back through the symptoms of healing and recognizing the energetic dynamics of this whole process of healing and disease? How can we support you? What's the question? What can we refine for you? If Tim and I and Michelle were sitting in the front of the room and in an auditorium in your town, and we finished this presentation, we're walking down off of the stage, what would your question be for us? I know you'd be walking over to us saying, well, what about? So that's what we're here for now. What about? 646-200-4169 is our calling number, and we'd love to hear your what about. How can I deepen my understanding of this whole process? And you know, if you're shy, you go, so gee, I'm going to be on the radio, my voice will shake, and na-na-na. Just let go of that. Push 1. Ask your question. Doesn't matter if your voice is a little shaky. Well, but somebody might know who I am. Then give us a fictitious name. We don't need to know your real name. Be anonymous. You don't need to be identified. You don't have to identify yourself, but we'd love to hear from you. How can we support you? What would open the space for deeper understanding of this work for you? By the way, we are looking at, because we had a pretty small summer set up as it is, and Jeannie and I had an extremely intense 9-month, almost 10-month journey this year. We're back at Heartland, or at least I am. Jeannie flew out a couple of days ago to go to our family reunion, and so we have a small crew, and a small summer was coming. So we're looking, and I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, at adjusting that summer and changing things around. So we won't be doing the full 65 or 68 days that we were initially planning. So if you have an interest in one aspect or the other and you haven't communicated with us yet, you might want to let us know about that sooner rather than later so we can take your request into account. And so, but we are adjusting the summer schedule to just make it doable. Right now, it's just more than I can do. So if you have an interest, communicate with us. Let us know. And other than that, anybody with a hand up, Michelle? Hello, Michelle.
Sorry, unmute. I'm at the library, so I'm going to go walk down the steps. We don't have anybody with a hand up right now.
Okay. Well, do you have any thoughts or questions for us?
Well, I actually have a thought. So Jeannie called me this morning on my way boarding a plane to Orlando, so I'm in Florida now. And I had enough time to get my car and get to a computer and handle the show. Except every barrier that came up. So the rental guy says there's no car for me, and I wait extra half hour. And then I unpack my luggage, and my phone charger is smashed to smithereens. And so I have no way to power my phone. I stop at 3 gas stations to try to find electronics, you know. Delays. I get to the library, have to fill all these forms for a guest. Then the whole time this is happening, I'm canceling the goal for the show to be announced by me. I recognize it because there is, you know, so much anxiety and all these barriers that just kept popping up. And I'm canceling the goal. So I get to the library and I pull up Chrome, and Blog Talk won't take Chrome. So then I shut that down and open Firefox. So I'm saying cancel the goal, but then I notice there's this other part behind me that's, oh, no, you got this, right? As the seconds are coming down to when it's time to. So I started thinking, right, text Jeannie, you know, that, of course, they don't have Flash, and so the chat room is suffering. Jeannie has it open, but then I'm saying I'm canceling the goal, but there's this other voice that's, you know, taking matters into my own hands and persevere and determined, and I'm going to do this. And I'm resourceful. I'm going to figure out a way. So,
great.
I don't know if that is clear.
Yes, very clear. It's a good point. And canceling my goal, I don't cancel my goal because there's something that I don't want to do, or I don't want to have, or I don't want to engage in. The purpose isn't to stop behavior moving toward producing a result, such as, gee, you know, the show starts at 1 o'clock, I'm in Orlando, and I'm going to get there and handle it. Canceling the goal doesn't mean that I'm not going to keep moving in that direction and do that. But what canceling the goal, what the core of forgiveness is that, you know, if I get my luggage and my phone charger is smashed, and that just like, I cancel the goal for my phone charger to be in one piece, not because I don't need a phone charger, not because I don't want a phone charger, not because I don't have to have a phone charger, but because having that goal brings up anger or rage in me. And so the canceling the goal is about forgiving, removing the capacity for the rage or fear that loading the goal resonates and shows me. So it doesn't mean I don't keep moving toward, well, I need a phone charger, my phone's going to die. It does mean that when I cancel my goal for the airline to take care of my luggage and deliver me a phone charger intact, that the irritation or the rage or the desire to, you know, blast somebody or whatever it is that comes up, so that I get to look at that part inside of me that is diseased and I heal it. And I'm still going to go get a phone charger. So the reason I cancel the goal is to enhance my healing process. it isn't because I'm never going to do that. Now, there might be some cases where when I cancel the goal, I'll realize it was a red herring and it's not something I really wanted anyway. But I think that's a really good point and a really great question, because it's about the healing process. It's not about what we do in the world. And the simple, for those who are new to the whole process, the simple upshot of how forgiveness works and what it's about is that in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it means to cancel. And when I recognize that my mind is continuously out of its content, producing a world of pictures, realities that are internal and unique to me, totally constructed by me. And the thing that drives that whole process is loading a goal. So when I select and commit to a goal, I'm literally loading a driver in my mind that causes my mind to use whatever data it has to produce guidance, to produce perception that will guide me. And when I recognize that if I load a goal that causes my mind some sort of hostility or fear guidance, then I'm going to tend to make poor decisions, and I want to clean that up so I can make the best decisions possible, then I cancel my goal in order to create the process of healing. While I may still be moving in the direction of getting the phone charger or getting to an internet connection so that I can run the show. Does that distinguish, does that kind of get to what you were asking about? Mute button pushed.
Yeah, what you're saying makes sense. I think that I'm maybe not really canceling the goal because, as you put it, that would be sufficient to end the suffering, whatever anxiety or hostility that I'm having. I definitely was inviting Luka to engage Rachma with the rental car agent man, because I was very tense and recognized, oh, this isn't very loving right now. You're not beaming right now. So, there's those high stress situations, I have a goal for myself to be supportive and reliable, and wasn't feeling like it was pushing in that direction. So I know, Dr. Tim, the trajectory of my co-hosting and what it does to bring up issues.
How
so,
did I
recognize
into this?
That I really am canceling the goal. Excuse me, Tim, but I really am canceling the goal. That doesn't mean that the next second I'm going to be saying it. But I really am canceling the goal. Tim, go ahead. We're down to just a few seconds. So go for
it. I was just going to say, how did I get sucked into this?
Oh, because last time you pointed out that I've gotten over myself a little quicker each time.
Well, I think it's a great thing to go back and listen to what Michael said. I think it, when you were mute challenged, I was trying to click in to say it makes sense to me, and it's a really good reminder of just because I say I cancel a goal doesn't mean I've wiped out all of the roots of my issues. So we can pick this up again on Monday, but thanks for asking.
Thanks.
Awesome. Well, much appreciation for everybody who joined us. Please go and see Inside Out tomorrow or this weekend, and see Tomorrowland as well. Join us on Monday for a conversation about what Disney's doing in the world. It's so powerful. And in the meantime, have an awesome weekend, the best year yet of your eternal life. It's a great gift to give the world. And bring a stranger to the show on Monday. And take somebody to see the movie with you, and let's play. Bye-bye.